So we saw yesterday on Daf Mem Tes on a base, we have a number of Rashis that we would like to look at. Let's just briefly remind ourselves of the principle we are discussing. Rav Zechira told us a rule, which did have exceptions, that when the Mishnah lists out a Seder HaDvarim, then the order, as a general rule, is not Dafka. There are exceptions. The prime exceptions we saw so far is with regard to Dam Nidus, the Sheva Samamonim. What about Arba Mises? No, that's a Machlekas. What about the Seder of the Tomid? No, that's just a mitzvah. So we referred most recently to Chalitza. So if you remember, there was a whole process, or if you want the right accent, Nachum, process. There's a process of Chalitza, which, notice how you say it? I'll just say it in the correct way then. Process.
Process.
Yeah, process, we'll say it correctly. And the Mishnah added that extra line, and it said, it seems to have said that you've got to keep the order. You've got to do a her announcement, you've got to do his announcement, etc., etc. So it does sound like the order is Dafka, to which the Gemara said, no. What it means is it's a mitzvah lechatchila to keep to that order, but if you switch the order, nisht gefarlach, as we would say in our best Yiddish, nisht gefarlach. So, as we discussed yesterday, there are three types, and very, very important, Rabbi said that this should be crystal clear. There are three types of lists. There is a list in which the order is ma'akev, means it's got to be that way, non-negotiable. On the opposite side of the spectrum, there's a list where the order doesn't matter whatsoever. And then there's a third type of list, and that's what we're discussing now, which is mitzvah lachatchila, to keep to the correct order, but b'dieved, if you didn't, nisht gefelech. And the example that we just mentioned was chalitza. So we cannot say, it would be incorrect to say, that the order doesn't matter. It certainly does matter, but it's not le'ikuva, which means it's not critical. And b'dieved, if you change the order, less lon bo. So have a look at there's a number of Rashis that we need to see. Let's begin on the sixth wide line towards the end. Ula afuke mi mitzvahs chalitza. I think we learned this Rashi already. Hi, kol mokoim, quote unquote. That kol mokoim, that all expansive rule, the Ka'omar of Schoira, that Rav Schoira taught us, deloy diktakubai, that he taught us that Chazal were not medaktik, were not particular on the order, le'afuke mi seder hashonu b'mitzvahs chalitza. What he's referring to is the order taught to us regarding the mitzvah of chalitza. Deloy tema, because do not say dafkahu. Don't say it's dafka, meaning it's absolutely critical. It's got to be that Seder. And if you change the Seder, then it won't take effect. No, that's not the case. It's true, as Rashi points out. Va'afal gav de mitzvose hochi. It's true. There is a mitzvah lechatchila to do it that way. Kedekomasadeh va'ozil, as we're going to continuously now explain. So, like we said, this is the middle type of list, where we cannot say that the order doesn't matter at all. We also cannot say that the order is absolutely critical. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. But at the end of the day, if you change the order, less lon bo. And that's what Rav Zechira was referring to. That as a general rule, when Chazal told us a series of events, it's not ma'akev. It's not ma'akev. There may be a mitzvah lechatchila to do so, but it's not ma'akev. So have a look now at the next Rashi. He oimeres tchilo. She needs to say first, says Rashi, quote unquote, me'ein yevomi. This is the Lashon of the Pasuk. She needs to announce that my yavam has hereby me'ein. Me'ein means has refused me. That's her speech. Then, v'hu oimer lo, Then he says to her, now this is his speech, which comes second, quote unquote, loy chofatzti, quote unquote, I do not desire, don't want to marry you. Vachar kach, the third part is the choletzes, when she removes the shoe. Vachar kach, the fourth process is rekekes, when she has to spit. Vachar kach, the fifth is kaira, then the announcement, etc., etc., quote unquote, kocha ye osa. So that is the whole Seder. But afilu hachi, nonetheless, even though that is the Seder, the mitzvah lechatchilah, but I afich, but if it's switched around, less lombar, doesn't matter. Kedoktoni lekamon, as will be stated later on. So now Rashi takes our hand through the process. Eitzah hahigenes loy. We mentioned this yesterday. The first thing we do before we actually begin the process of chalitza is we first work out what is it that's in his best interests. Eitzah hahigenes means a suitable eitzah. It might well be that it's an appropriate shidduch. But as we saw yesterday, if it's inappropriate because of the disparity in age, then we will not force him, but we will definitely give him an eitzah that this is not a good idea for you. Says Rashi, eitzah ha'igenes loy, she'im hoya hu zokin. If he was elderly, v'hi yolda, and she was young, or the other way around, hu yeled, he's young, but he's a zaken, she's old, oimrin loy, we would say to him, klach, go, eitzel shekamoischa, go to somebody similar to you, meaning a similar age bracket. V'loy tachnis ketota. Why would you want to bring an argument l'toich beischa into your house? So we cannot forbid it, but we're advising. If she's 85 and he's 16, then it's unlikely to be a good marriage, and therefore, why would you want to go ahead with this? Yes, Ibn.
So, just thinking of the most famous chalitza, Yibum situations in Tanakh, like Boaz's the situation. He was extreme, much older than her.
Yeah, right. Good point. Like we
So,
said,
and he was the gadol hador. So, how come
right.
the advice here wasn't?
It's not awesome. It's not awesome. We're just giving advice. We're saying, listen, wouldn't it be more recommendable for somebody your age? If you insist that no, I'm happy to marry somebody who's 50 years younger or older, then say that's perfectly your prerogative. We're absolutely saying it's not awesome. So why are we giving this advice at all? That was learned from a pasuk. The Gemara says, if you look at the second last narrow line of the Gemara, Eitzah ha'higenes loy, says the Gemara, Shenema, v'karu loy, zikne iroi, v'dibru elov. The Pasuk says the Zakenim will summons him and they'll speak to him. Now, it doesn't say in the Torah what they speak to him about. So this is Chazal's understanding. They speak to him and try and give him friendly advice. But we absolutely don't enforce it. And if he decides he wants to marry her, then, as they say in Ivrit, zechuto amaleah. Yes.
Did Tamar need chalitza from Yehuda's youngest son when she, because Yehuda was saying she should have waited for him and she should, that was the whole problem and he was too young. And so it's really the same inyan in a way.
Right. All of, well, several of halachas of Yibam and chalitza learned from there. Having said that, it's a little bit complicated because all of that was prior to Matan Torah. So essentially, the halachas of Yibam don't really exist. So it's hard to prove things from there. Either way, it says back into our Rashi. Ubaloshen HaKodesh Hoyu Oimrim. All of these nuschois, she has to say that he's refused me. And he has to say, I don't want to marry her. All of those are quotes from the Pasuk, and they have to be stated in Loshon HaKodesh. Now, this is a very big chiddush. Why is it a big chiddush, says Rashi? The Masechta Soita Yaliflo. In Masechta Soita, we derive this Peperek Elu Nemorin. In the Perek called Elu Nemorin, Bechol Loshoin. The Perek Elu Nemorin Bechol Loshein. There is a Perek called Elu Nemorin Bechol Loshein. What does that mean, Elu Nemorin Bechol Loshein? So, as we know, this is a whole big discussion. There is a rule, but there is an exception to the rule. The general rule is that whenever there's a mitzvah to declare something or recite something, it can be done so in any language. So, if you want to say Kriya Shema in Swahili, or even in an American English or Mishkafayim English, then yes, you can do so. If you want to say the Haggadah Shel Pesach, if you want to say Shmoyne Esra, Sfiras HaOmer, you can say it in any language you like. There are exceptions to the rule, and this is one of them. This is one of the exceptions that these declarations that need to be made by her and by him have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. If you look there in the Gemara in Soito, then the Gemara discusses why this is an exception. We learn it from Sukkim. And that's why the Brice is emphasizing that it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. By the way, just in parenthesis, it's important to know that even though you're allowed to say, for example, Kriya Shema or Sfiras Omer or Birkas HaMazon or Brachas in any language you like, but there is a difference. What is the difference? The difference is that Lashon HaKodesh, if you decide to say something in Lashon HaKodesh, then you're yotzei the mitzvah, even if you don't actually understand what you're saying. Whereas if you want to say it in English, for example, then it only works if you understand what you're saying. Again, to that rule, there's also an exception. The exception is Sfiras HaOmer. In the case of Sfiras HaOmer, whichever language you say it in, even Lashon HaKodesh, you've got to understand what you're saying. Have a look in the Mishnah Berurah, Tov Pei Tes, not our discussion so much. So this is a very, very important issue, especially, for example, those new to Yiddishkeit, who may well find it easier to daven or to bench, whatever it may be in English, perfectly permissible. Not only is it perfectly permissible, it may well actually be recommendable. Because even if they were to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, they would be yotzei the mitzvah, as we've just discussed. But obviously, I think we all understand far better to say in a language you actually understand what you're saying.
What about the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra, Rebbe?
Shnayim Mikra has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. I'll tell you a fascinating, fascinating discussion. I know we veered off subject, but this is unbelievable. There was in this country a Talmud Chacham who passed away about 10 years ago. He was a first cousin of my grandmother, his wife was, and his name was Reb Avrom Genachovsky. Reb Avrom Genachovsky. He was an absolute goyin adir, both in his midos and in his Torah. We could literally sit all day. I could tell you stories about his midos, just incredible, literally incredible. But Al Kaponim, he was a goyin in Torah, absolute genius, genius, genius in Torah. So Avraham Genachovsky asked a question, which I don't know. I don't think I would have thought of this question in a million years. I don't think I would have thought of this question in a million years. And he asked with regard to a halacha in Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah. What was his question? His question was that there's a certain halacha, it escapes me at the moment what it is, doesn't matter, where the Shulchan Aruch says that if you do most of the Megillah so and so, like this, you're Yotzer. If you do part of it, you're not Yotzer. And then it says, and what happens if you do it exactly half-half? The Shulchan Aruch says there's a discussion, what would be the halacha? So Avraham Genachovsky said, I counted the words in Megillas Esther, and it's an odd number. So how can the Shulchan Aruch possibly talk about half-half? There is no half of an odd number. If it's 1,000 words, then you can say 500 and 500. But if it's 1,001, you can't have half-half. So what does the Shulchan Aruch mean, mechtza al mechtza? That is a genius kasha. It takes a certain type of mind even to think of it, that let's go and count the words in Megillas Esther to see if it's an odd number or an even number. So this was Rav Avraham Genachovsky's incredible kasha. How can the Shulchan Aruch talk about mechtza al mechtza, which means, like we said, half-half? What do you mean half-half? There's no half. Okay, if you think the question was genius, the answer is even more genius. You know what he said? Because the Gemara says that Kriyas HaMegillah can be translated into any language you like, as we've just said. Therefore, it may well be that in a different language, it would come out to an even number of words. Right? For example, if I say to you in Lashon HaKodesh, ochalti, that's one word, but in English it's two words. I ate. Yoshavti, I sat. So the Avraham Ganachovsky said that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. If the Shulchan Aruch says half-half, it means at least in a case when it's translated to a different language, then it may well end up an even number, and you can literally have half-half. So now you see why he was a Godel Hadoir B'Torah. Okay, back to our subjects. Either way, chalitza is one of the exceptions. Is one of the exceptions that even though the normal rule is, like we said, whenever there's a declaration or a statement or a recital, it could be in any language, but this is an exception. This has got to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, carry on. Next Rashi, Roik Hanira. So now she, in this very interesting process, has to spit, but the saliva has to be visible. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Shiyehei boi kedei lirois. What does that mean, Roik Hanira? It's got to be an amount that can be seen. That's what it means, Roik Hanira. It doesn't mean invisible saliva. It's got to be an amount that one can see. Kasheyotzi mipia, when it leaves her mouth. Why? Deboinon, because we require a fulfillment of the following pasuk, again, quote unquote, Le'enei hazakenim v'yorkam. She spits Le'enei hazakenim, to the eyes of the zakenim. So if she would spit a very minuscule amount, such that they cannot actually see that saliva, then that would not be a fulfillment of this mitzvah. Next, koira v'koire. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda then summed it all up and said, koira, she needs to announce, v'koire, now he needs to, choiletzes, v'roikekes, v'koira. So what does that mean, says Rashi? Koira, she needs to say, me'ein yevomi, quote unquote. V'koire, he needs to say, le'chafatzti. Choiletzes, v'roikekes, and then v'koira, quote unquote, kochoye osele'ish, five stages. Now, what was Rabbi Yehuda adding? V'havinon bo, my kamashmalon. What was Rabbi Yehuda adding? We just went over the list again. U'mehod Rabbi Yehuda shaminon. So Rabbi Yehuda must be teaching us the masnisin lav dafka. That what he's teaching you is that this is the seder lechatchila. In other words, the order that we meant before is lav dafka. It doesn't have to be that way. Mishum hochi nokat lahocha. That's why he said it over here that, listen, this is the order, but it's not absolutely critical. Okay, so
Rabbi, I
tell.
just have a question. I just have a question because I feel like if a mission is going to be redundant, the lesson is more that it is dafka, not lav dafka.
What do
You
you
know,
mean
like
redundant?
it's
What do you mean redundant? No mission is
meaning
redundant.
he's coming to say it over again.
So that's the
Rabbi
question.
Yehuda. I know, but to me it would be that it is dafka, not lav dafka. Like would they say that Hashem said ma'od ma'od? It's to emphasize that it's happening. You know, the double dream from Yosef was because it's gonna happen now. Here it's like it's doubling again. So to me that would mean dafka, not lav dafka.
No, again, he's not coming to tell you it's lav dafka. He's coming to tell you that there's a mitzvah lechatchila. There's a mitzvah lechatchila. What would I have understood without Rav Yehuda?
That the
Do
order is important. I would think the order is important because it's
no, to the
listening.
contrary, this is Rav Schreira's rule. I would have thought without Rav Yehuda that the order is totally irrelevant. Rav Yehuda was just coming to add that. It's not totally irrelevant. There is a mitzvah lechatchila to be makpid on the order. But if you don't, nishkefelach. Rav Yehuda was not coming to say that the order is absolutely critical. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. Now, look back into the Gemara. Look back into the Gemara. If you remember, we saw Tanya Nami Hochi, so too we have learned in a Brisa, and this is confirmed by the Brisa. So Rav Nachum, this is a confirmation that the Gemara brings, because you see, even though Rav Yehuda's words maybe were not so clear, but you look in the Brisa, absolutely clear. Tanya Nami Hochi, we've learned so in a Brisa, it says, Bein Shehikdim Chalitza L'Rakika, Oi Rakika L'Chalitza, These two steps of the process, the removing of the shoe and the spitting, if you do one first and the other one second, or the first one second, the other one first, ma she'osa osui, that which you did has been done. So you see quite clearly that the Seder is not dafka. Okay. So Rav Sechaira's rule at the moment stands protected. And that is the halacha, as mentioned, with so far the only example, the only exception to the rule is the Sheva Samamonim. But with regard to Chalitza, to the contrary, that's in fitting with the rule that even though the Mishnah lists out a whole Seder, the Seder is not critical, albeit there's a mitzvah lechatchila. Says the Gemara now, another example of what he was referring to. Says the Gemara, Uleafuke mehod etnan koyin godol meshamesh bishmoina kelim. Says the Mishnah, a kohen gadol serves with eight kelim. Kelim doesn't mean utensils, it means with eight begodim. Vehedyot, and a kohen hedyot, ba'arba. So what are those? Beketoines, which is a shirt or a tunic. Bemichnasayim, the trousers, the pants. Bemitznefes, the hat. Smile there from Mishkafayim. Va'avnet, and a belt. Those are the four. Moisif aleihem kohen gadol. So on top of those four, the kohen gadol now has to add another four. Choshen, which we know is the breastplate. Ve'efod, we know is the tcheles apron, as it were. Ume'il, the coat, the tzitz, and the headplate. So once again, we have a Mishnah that introduces the list with a number, eight and four, etc., etc. And we're trying to work out now, is the order dafka or not dafka? Says the Gemara, v'tanya, and we have learned in a braisa, minayin shelo yehei davar koidem. How do I know that nothing should precede the michnasayim? The michnasayim have to be the first thing that he puts on. Shenema, we learn it from a pasuk. Or michnasei bad yeah al besorim. Fine. So the special pasuk that the michnasei, the trousers, the pants, have to be al besorim. Those have to be first. V'tana, and it's stated in a further brisa. My timer akadme leketoines. Why indeed in the Brisa, in the Mishnah, what was mentioned first? The Ksainis was mentioned first. And yet you've just told me that in the Pasuk teaches us the Mechnasayim have to be first. So my timer, Kadmila, why indeed is the Ketoines mentioned first? The answer is Mishum da'akta, because actually the Pasuk mentions it first. Even though it's true, I've got another pasuk that teaches me that the michnasayim have to be worn first, but when the Torah lists out the begodim, the ketones is mentioned first. So does the brisa. With the obvious question being, okay, you've just pushed off the question. So why did the Torah mention it first? V'kro my timer akdami. So why indeed did the Torah mention the Ketones first if the Torah elsewhere actually teaches me that actually the Mechnasayim have to be first? So why is the Ketones mentioned first? Mishum de Mechasya kula gufei. Because the Ketones covers his whole body, adifaleit more choshuv. The ketones was not what we call a shirt. Our shirts do not cover the whole body. It was more like some type of cloak. So therefore, why does the Torah mention the ketones first? Because as extra chashivus, in which, okay, why? Because it covers the whole guf. But nonetheless, if you want to know which one do you have to put on first, that we learned from another pasuk, you have to put on the michnasayim first. So therefore, the Braiser is just following the Seder of the Torah. The Torah also first mentioned the ketones, then mentioned the michnasayim. That's what the Braiser does. But even though both the Torah and the Braiser both mention the michnasayim second, but it actually has to be put on first. How do we know? It's learned from a pasuk. So therefore, what's the Gemara teaching us? This is another proof or another source to Rav Sechaira's whole rule. We had a braisa that mentions the begadim and gives a whole order, but you see that order is lav dafka. Because even though the braisa first mentioned ketones for reasons we just explained, but it's actually not what you put on first. Says Rashi, Uli afuke ahoder of Sechaira komahada. We're going back once again to Rav Sechaira's rule. Al basari. It says the michnasayim have to be al basari. Mashma kishaloivshan. It's mashma that they wear it. Yeah, basari mibli lavush. If you put the pants on al basari, it's mashma on his unclothed flesh. Well, if it's an unclothed flesh, that means he's not yet wearing anything. And the first thing he wears is the michnasayim. That's how we learn from this pasuk that it's got to be first. De'iloi, ha'osalashminon. If it's not coming to teach us this, lo moli, then why does it say al basari? Very strange words in the pasuk. Again, look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the michnasay bad yu al basari. Well, obviously on his flesh. Where are they going to be then? On his head? What is the Torah adding when it says al basari? Says Rashi, that this is the way we therefore understand the pasuk. Al basari means on his unclothed flesh, which is another way of saying that when he puts on the michnasayim, the flesh has to be at the time unclothed, i.e., the michnasayim are the first thing he puts on. Says Rashi, my timer actame. So why indeed did the Braiser first mention the ketones? If the michnasayim are really worn, put on first, as we just explained from the pasuk, so why indeed is the ksainus mentioned first? Teretz is the act of mikra, because the Torah mentioned it first. It says ksainus bad kodesh yilbash, and then umichnasay bad. So don't blame the brisa. The brisa is just stating the order that the Torah does. If you want to ask the question, so why does the Torah mention the ksainus first? Yes, because it has a certain element of chashivus, and that is that it covers the whole guf. But if you want to know what the halacha requires, michnasayim first. Yes, Rebbe.
In fact, if the Torah wants to tell you, it's like there's more chashivas to the kasonas, but before you do that, you have to cover the betznius, like you have to be tsonua before the more chashiva thing comes on. So you got it. So the order is put your pants on first, and that's why it says besaro, so that the makom that has to be more tsonua is not
Correct.
going to touch the more chashiva thing. So they're telling you, yeah, chashivas is, but you have to protect
You have to cover the Erevah first, 100%, 100%, 100%. So all of this is brought for what reason? As yet another backup to the principle of Rav Sechaira. Again, Rav Sechaira's rule was that as a general rule, although we've seen exceptions, but as a general rule, when the Mishnah mentions a list, the list is lav dafka. Having said that, number one, we've seen exceptions, mainly the Sheva Samamonim of Nidah. Number two, we've also seen that even if the list is lav dafka, there still may well be at least a mitzvah lechatchila to keep to the order. Okay, let's just make a brief start because we are running out of time. But let's make a brief start to the next Gemara. Why have we launched this whole discussion? We've had a whole Omud talking about Dam Nidah and Chalitza, Tomid, Yom Kippur, etc., etc. It all came back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says there are four Misos, and there was a Machloikis between the Tana Kamma and Reb Shimon as to what is that order. What is the order? If you remember, Rashi mentioned, and this is absolutely critical, why is it relevant what the order is? And the answer is because sometimes a person does a double aveira. He's chayav two misos. Obviously, I can only give him one. The halacha is you give him the more stringent of the two. We learn that from a pasuk elsewhere. So if I give him the more chomor misa, well, obviously that requires me first to know which indeed is more chomor. And that's why the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon are having a discussion, because there is an enormous halachic ramification that emerges from there. So have a look at the Gemara, third bottom line. Skila Sreifa. So this is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon switches it around. He says, no, Sreifa Skila. But for the moment, we're going with the Tanakhama, Skila Sreifa, Skila Sreifa. So the most chomor misa is skila, and therefore, if somebody would commit two averes, one of which carries the skila punishment, one of which carries the sreifa punishment, in the opinion of the Tanakhama, you would give him the skila. That's more chomor, says the Gemara. We'll just make a brief start. Skila sreifa, skila chamura misreifa. We're coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama that skila is more stringent than sreifa. How do I know? Shekein nitno lemegadef v'la'ovid avodah zarah. A megadef, we've had this in the last perek, somebody who is called a mevorech es Hashem, although of course it means the exact opposite. And an Oved Avodah Zarah. Now we all understand that a Megadeth and an Oved Avodah Zarah is the worst of the worst of the worst Avera. So surely it follows that he should get the most Chomor Misa. And what Misa indeed does he get? Skila, says the Tanakhama. Well, there's my proof that Skila is obviously the most Chomor, because it's given to the person who transgressed the most serious of Averas. Shekein nitna lemegadef ulaoved avodah zarah or avodas gilulim, says Rashi. Have a look at the fourth bottom line. Skila chamura, tama de masnisin. It's the reasoning of the Mishnah, the Mahadeh. We are going back leferushe to explain. My taima de rabbonon. What is the reasoning behind the rabbonon? Who said to Omru Skila koidemes lestreifa, that Skila comes before Sreifa, vestreifa lehereg, vehereg lechenek. We're trying to work out where did the Tanakhama get that order from. Says Rashi, Shekein nitna lemegadiv, because Skila is given to somebody who has committed the worst aveiras. What are those? Number one, says Rashi, mevorech es Hashem. Somebody who blesses, which obviously means curses, Hashem, v'hu b'skila, and the Torah stipulates you get skila because it says, "Kedikseiv hoitzeis hamakalel," you take out the makalel and you stone him. We saw this in the last perek. That's number one, and number two, la'avodas kechavim, shehein aveirois chamurois. Those are obviously the most chamur aveirois. Why are those the most chomor averus? Look quickly in the Gemara, second bottom line. My chumra. Who told you that those are the most chomor averus? Well, it's obviously shekein poishet yodoi be'ikar, because he stuck his hand out be'ikar. Who's be'ikar? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say, he's koifa be'ikar. To stick your hand out directly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be mekalel es Hashem, oved avodah zarah, is obviously the worst of the worst. Says Rashi, umay chumra de megadef avodas kechavim. What exactly is the severity of these averas, de ka'omrat, that you have told me, de misa hanitno lahem, that the death penalty given to them, vaday chamura, must be more stringent mishar mises? Shehari nitno la'aveira chamura, because you said it's given to a very strict, terrible, severe aveira. What is that severity? Says the Gemara, very obviously. If it's a direct rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no more direct rebellion on HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to serve Avodah Zarah. Well, obviously, that's the most chamur aveira. And if the Torah stipulates that that person gets skila, says the Rabbanon, Tanakhama, inescapable conclusion, that therefore skila must be the most strict punishment. Yes,
Rebbe,
Rav.
is Megadeth Yehareg Vayavar?
No.
So then, how could you possibly have a Havamina that Megadeth is ahead of the Avodah Zarah?
We're not saying it's ahead. We're saying the same bracket.
How can it be? Because
Because
of the
ahead
Avodah
is still
Zarah
an
is a Har
option.
Vayah. There should be three Averis that are before the Megadeth because they're all
Again,
Yahar Vayah.
we haven't discussed what's halacha of Ritzicha and Aroyas. That's coming up. But for the moment, it's severe with regard to the punishment, with
I
regard
understand,
to
but by the
specific.
Megadeth itself, when the Megadeth,
The Horeg Vayavr is a different thing. The Horeg Vayavr is a different thing. We'll have to discuss that next time in Mitzvah. Okay, have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.
have a good Shabbos.
Everyone.
Okay.